Hello and welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. My name is Adrian Reynolds. I'm head of national ministries for the FIEC, and I'm joined by Phil Moore, who's from Cornerstone Church Music Ministry, various other things you may have seen him in as well. And this is a special bonus episode, not for leaders, which our podcast is normally for, but for piano players, actually. Lots of churches have music that is led by a pianist, sometimes just on their own, sometimes playing with other people. And lots of questions about how do I do that well. We were both at a conference that you were leading. You did it very well, I might say. And helping musicians think about that question, helping pianists think about that question. The room was full, wasn't it? Lots of people thinking, how do I do that? Yeah. So this is a bonus episode, which we're hoping if you're an FIC leader, you'll pass along to your pianists. And if you're a pianist, welcome. And for this episode, we want to help you think a little bit about how to accompany music well, so that people can sing well.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. And I guess I appreciate that there'll be people in a whole range of different places. There's some people who will be very much playing piano as part of a band, some people who will be leading a band with a piano, some situations where it would just be piano. And so hopefully there'll be something for everyone in this, but I do appreciate there's a lot of ground to cover there.
And people won't necessarily have the kind of instruments we've got in front of us. We've both got stage pianos.
That's right.
They happen to be the things we play, but you might have an upright or an old grand. It might be in tune, it might be out of tune, who knows?
Yes.
So my this is for pianists red. Of
when,
all kinds.
When I brought it home to my wife when we first got married, she was like, oh, it's very red. It doesn't quite match the wallpaper. That was the trouble.
Mine is made by a company founded by Stevie Wonder, so I feel like I've got the moral superiority here. Phil, you're going to be the teacher for this half hour together. I'm willing to learn. I've been playing the piano a long time, but I'm longing to learn. So you're going to help me through with just some practical tips about how to lead well from the piano.
Yeah.
Some of them we'll have to explain if you're just listening to the podcast rather than watching it, but we'll explain as we go. So over to you, sir.
Yeah.
Help me out here.
I think just to kick us off, I'm going to get Adrian to play something,
okay,
and then we'll give him a bit of critique.
Oh dear, what would you like me to play?
Do you want to start with a bit of Amazing Grace?
Would okay, that be? Amazing Grace. I'll give it a go.
So you imagine it's Sunday morning, you're there in front of the congregation, not in front of me. Yeah.
Okay.
What would you do?
And you want me to play this as I would play it?
As you would play it. That's it.
Okay. So I think I would give people. I want to give them a. I think I would be thinking to myself, I want to give them a bit of a tune so they know what they're singing.
Yeah.
But I also want to give them an in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with Amazing Grace, it's relatively straightforward because people know it. So I guess I would do something like this.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
I guess
brilliant. That's a good introduction. Good.
Okay.
Excellent. I think one of the challenges that we have sometimes is that we can, and I don't know, what's your background, Adrian? Were you kind of classically trained? Did you do grades?
I did do grades. I was classically trained, but at the same time, my grandmother was an East End pub pianist.
Brilliant.
And I used to listen to her play the piano like this. Which really wound my music teacher up.
Yeah.
So I've got sort of East End pub pianist in one ear and then Beethoven in the other.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things I think when we're playing in church is, well, sometimes we can translate some of those styles onto what we're doing.
Sure.
So the kind of classical thing, which is classical music mainly. I love classical music, but it's playing all the notes. You play all the notes most of the time.
Yeah.
And I think when we're playing in church, one of the things that would be most helpful for a congregation is to play less.
Right, okay.
But I'm not necessarily critiquing the way you just did that.
That's
that was
fine.
That was perfectly great. That was perfectly great. But sometimes if
there's not going to be a job offering the post, that's what you're saying. It's okay. It's okay. I'm fine with that. I understand.
Maybe what the tip I'm kind of giving you is to play slightly less enthusiastically,
okay,
which is a weird thing to say, really,
okay,
isn't it? Because we often want to say, oh yeah, the way to kind of get the congregation to really go for this and be enthusiastic is to play more.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wonder. You know, Amazing Grace, because it's so well known, you could start that off kind of quite simply. You know, you could just do a couple of chords. So I'm just doing like a G chord with a G sus, which is the most Christian of all chords.
Just tell us what, if people might not know what a G sus is.
So that's a G.
If they've been brought up on Beethoven.
Yeah, well, that's a G. So I'm playing here a G, a B, a D, and a G at the top, which is kind of just a G chord. And then if you put a C in the middle of that, that's a G sus rather than the B. So if you shift your second finger to a C, that just gives a nice little groove. That's a really useful little kind of little riff to do in a lot of songs, or even between verses of songs. It's just having a slightly rocking thing. So you could do something as simple as that. Just as a little filler, and then go to the verse.
Amazing. Can I have a go?
So yeah, you have a go.
There's my G chord.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's it essentially with
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
And when
yeah,
you're doing
yeah.
something simple, because you know we can do things that are musically obvious. And one of the biggest compliments I think I was given as a young musician was that I was predictable.
Okay.
or followable, thing, I think,
the,
as they
the
said.
Thing that a musician never really wants to hear deep in his heart.
Yeah, okay. But I think being a church musician, I think that's one of the best things to work on. Right. Is how can you be as followable as you possibly okay, can yep. be by the congregation? And one of the ways we can do that is being simple. So it's doing that, and then. But how do we make it obvious that we're about to start?
Yeah, okay.
There's nothing worse
than when people kind of dribbling in.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So you want the A of Amazing Grace, not just amazing.
That's it. That's
yeah.
it.
Okay.
So one of the tips I was given by my friend Ben Slee, who works on in a church in London, he said there's a four letters which kind of actually spell out his name, which I think is a bit self indulgent, really. You know, but anyway,
Ben
B-E-S. S.
Oh, okay, Ben S. Okay,
Ben S. If you remember Ben S.
Right.
And, so B is for breathe. So before you start, you need breathe. Breathing's good. It's encouraged. Breathe. And giving some eye contact to the congregation as well. So yep. I think sometimes we can have the tendency to be kind of crouched over and kind of locked into it. So that's the E. So breathe, and then a bit of eye contact.
Yeah, that's not going to work well if you're listening, but you are staring me out when you
I am
say
staring
that.
You
okay,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit of eye contact.
Yep.
A little nod for the congregation as yep. well. And then that's the N. So breathe, eye contact, nod, and then the S is smile.
Okay.
I think that's actually really important for church pianists. Sometimes our tendency can be that we're either quite stressed out or anxious about what we're doing. So our default kind of relaxed face or playing face can be quite fierce.
Right.
So when you're looking at your congregation, actually just smiling gives them a little visual cue. So if you do a breathe, an eye contact, a little nod and a smile as somebody who's leading the music, either on a piano or a guitar or a singer.
Yeah.
That is a good visual cue okay. that we're about to start.
So visual cue is actually yeah. quite important. You're not just yeah. producing sound. You're giving
That's
people
it.
A visual cue. Yeah, yeah. Okay,
especially
great.
When you've got...
Really
and you
helpful.
Can do that musically as well. And there's so if we just went for the simple introduction, we could do like a seventh chord as well, which is putting the F sharp into that G chord. And then there's a classic kind of doing a dominant chord. So that's
okay.
the five chord, which in G major is a D chord.
Yeah.
And that's got a... Five in music has got a gravitational pull
yeah.
down to one.
Right.
So that
right.
you know something's about to happen. If you put a five chord in and you want
yeah.
to go,
Whoa, come on, keep going. Yeah,
everybody
yeah,
knows yeah. it's obvious to start. So that's just a little simple.
So for something
thing.
Like Amazing Grace, which is fairly well known,
yeah.
perhaps not so key as yeah. as when you're playing something that people perhaps don't know when to start, that
yeah.
kind of that fifth yeah. chord could yeah. be really helpful, couldn't it?
That's it. If you imagine you're playing Amazing Grace, so if you started off with something more simple in the first verse,
yep.
so something really just called Amazing Grace, just playing those block chords.
Yep.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
I've just really played those very simple chords. By the time you get to verse 3 or verse 4, you might want to do something yeah. different.
Or by the time my chains are falling off, if you're playing that version, yes.
Not talking about your bicycle.
No.
Yeah, that's right. I think by the time you're getting further along in the chord, you might want to pick things up a bit there, a little bit more. So, I don't know, what's the words of the final verse of Amazing Grace? How does it go?
Well, it depends who you talk to. The real words are, the earth will soon dissolve like
snow. Yes.
The sun forbear to shine.
Yes.
The God who
yeah.
called me here below will be forever mine. That's the right words that John Newton
I'm probably
wrote.
Thinking about that when we've been there 10,000
years.
Yeah,
that's from a different hymn altogether.
Is that?
He didn't, yeah, it is. He didn't write it.
And it might be at that point you want to pick things up a little bit. So if you're playing, so I might go, when I've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. So I think that is the moment to go for it.
Yeah.
But especially in a well-known song and something like that where you're taking people on a journey through it. So don't yeah. give everything all the time at the start.
Right.
So, yeah. Do you want to give it a little go?
Watch the words, presumably, because in my version, the correct version,
yes,
it crescendos verse 4 or 5 and then comes down. Yeah. So you could bring it. So you're following the words, aren't you?
Yeah, okay. I think that's really key, actually. Let the words drive what you do musically, and that feeds into your arrangement. So if you were going to do something a bit more active in that verse that you don't like, lovely. And one of the things you're doing really well there, Adrian, is you're using...
Popping that wrong note here.
Well, you're using chords to kind of add a bit of colour to the to the music.
So you are my grandmother would be pleased, but Mrs. Easdale wouldn't. My piano teacher, okay.
And I think that is a way to do it, you know, and that could be very simply just adding in some of those extra notes into a chord. So we talked about adding in the sus, which is the fourth. The other thing you can do is you can add in the second note. And by this, we're talking about the notes in the scale.
Right.
So if you think of G major being G being the first note of the scale, if you add an A, which is the second note in the scale, that adds in what you call a second. So that's a second.
Kind of feels a bit pregnant, a little bit of expectation there of, it's kind of intrigue.
I use that all the time. So second chords, I think. And on any of the chords, so if you're in a C chord, adding in the D, or in a D chord, adding in the E, just gives that kind of slight sense of this is kind of peaceful and I think
so. Can I just backtrack? Let's assume I hadn't listened to McGranny playing East End pub music. It was just it was Mrs. Ashford actually initially, my piano teacher, teaching me. I wouldn't really know what chords were, frankly. So I think it sounds like it's good to know at least some basic chords, isn't it? So you can go and look them up in a chord book or look online or something.
Online. Yeah. Okay. And your very basic chords will just be what they call triads. So that's three notes, which is the first, the third, and the fifth.
Okay.
So in G, that's G, B, and D. So that's a very simple chord. And you can do that in any key.
Yeah.
But to make it, and this is where it gets more challenging. I think to kind of increase the, I don't know how nice that sounds really. You want to spread that chord out a bit more.
Right.
So I think having your octaves and your bass, you know, I think that's a really good way of adding depth to things. And just spreading.
And then
it
you
the
can
right
put
hand.
That second in. You can put just the second feels in. That. Yeah. Okay.
That's it. I think that's a really nice way to do it.
Yep.
If you were trying to play with others in your band, how do you think that would affect the way that you played what you just played?
Well, I'll tell you one thing I try and do. I don't know if this is right or not. I heard someone else teach me this, actually, another quite well-known pianist, is to try and always be playing in different registers.
Yes, okay.
So I try and play in a different part of the piano from where the other sounds are coming. So we don't have hugely complex musicians at Christchurch. But if we have a flute, which tends to be up here, I would try and be down here. But if we have a guitar, which tends to be here, I might be up here. So that's one thing I try and do a little bit.
And I think it's mixing it up a bit. So we talk about sonic space, which I think sounds like some kind of computer game or something.
But it sounds like something like Doctor Who carries around.
That is your different registers.
Right.
The simplest way to think about that is, as you just said, think about the kind of the low end, the middle, and the high end of the piano. I think, you know, you're right. So an acoustic guitar, an electric guitar will be around the middle. If you have melody instruments, they'll be around the top. And obviously your bass guitar, if you've got a bass, will be down the bottom. So don't try not to interfere. If you want to be friends with your bass player, you don't want to take too much.
Can you be friends with a bass player?
I think we should be. We should love them. But don't do too much of that. So those kind of octaves and stuff, it can begin to sound really muddy. I think we will have all experienced a situation where we've walked into and we've heard music and it just doesn't kind of come across that well. It kind of sounds quite either bottom heavy or top heavy.
So if I've got a bass player, my left hand can be here. It doesn't need to be there.
That's right. Or, you know, your left hand can be off the piano completely.
What?
And we've got a comfort zone. What am I going to do with it? You know, you can't.
This is stretching me, Phil, I have to admit.
I think the key with this, the more people you've got playing in your band, the less you should be playing.
Right. Okay.
So if you think about it as a whole piece, as a whole kick, you know, if you like, your music together. If you are a piano player on your own, you can do it all. You are the whole cake. You have to do the whole thing. But if there's five people playing in the band, you're only a 1/5.
Fine. Yeah,
so
got it.
You need to be you need to be probably playing about a 1/5 of as much as you would play.
Can I just ask another question? Something else that I was taught to do, and I don't know if this is helpful or not. If it's not, I want you to tell me, is in terms of playing out the melody, especially for things that are less familiar.
Yes.
Trevor, who I've first learned to play with in church when I was kind of 11, 12, told me you don't always need to play the melody in your sort of main range. You can do it an octave low.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Or an octave higher.
Yeah. Or doing it, doubling it with an octave.
Okay.
Yeah, that also works. I think that can be a nice thing to add in, but especially if it's a song which is well known, or a song which is, if you've got a strong vocal lead, and I don't necessarily mean somebody who's got a fantastic voice, I mean somebody who's singing, if the voice is driving the music in your band, which I think would be really helpful.
Right.
If the main event is singing in the church and most people out there are singing along, we want to have the singing as kind of the most prominent thing. So what we're doing is accompanying the singing. So we want to play in a way which kind of is always prioritizing that.
So in some songs, if I'm understanding you right, let's say it's a less familiar song.
Yes.
Your job, my job as a pianist, if I'm a sole musician and there's not a singer, might actually be to bang out, not a technical term,
but to give people
the melody rather than the nice sort of chords we're doing.
Yes.
It's not going to be the case with Amazing Grace. Everyone knows it.
Yeah.
But in other songs, it might be my job to...
Yes, to go for that. Yeah.
And make sure that's coming through.
Yeah. And also, that's a really nice thing to do as an introduction. Or in between the verses, is to kind of add in a little bit of that as well. So it's thinking about what we do when people are singing, which might be different, and I think often is different to what we do when they're not singing. So in between the verses, having kind of some kind of easy link or something which was memorable. You know, if I was doing something like "How Great Thou Art," and we're kind of jumping onto another song, but like I might just do a very simple little kind of, which is just walking through that chord, and then I've got this kind of bass thing going on, which is just hovering around. Very simple.
The ease with which you do that, I find slightly galling, just hovering around. So let's talk about links.
Yeah.
Can we talk about links? Because I think one of the hardest things I find is that...
Coming up with
Well, as a singer, one of the things I hate is you get to, you know... Da, 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 da,
yes.
And then you finish, and then you're... And then we're off again.
Yes.
So what sorts of things could I be doing as a pianist in between verses that are relatively straightforward? You've set me a very high bar there with your hovering around. But what other things are there?
So I think there is a difference between an upbeat song and a slightly lower tempo song or a mid-tempo song. So an up-tempo song, you actually physically need more of a rest, I think, between the verses. So if you're singing
the singers you're talking about,
So if you're singing something up-tempo, you know, we sing a song called Rejoice, Come and Stand Before Your Maker, which is quite up-tempo. Actually, between that, we need a little bit of a, the singers, the congregation needs a little bit of a break before you kind of launch straight in.
Yep.
But something like Amazing Grace, you know, I once was lost, but now I'm found, blind, but now I see. You might even just do something as simple as walking down that chord. And that's totally fine, I think, in that song. Or you might have a slightly more extended link. And what ways in which we can do that? You can go to the relative minor often in a link. So you could, so in G, that would be going to E minor. So if we were doing that. Then maybe to the dominant or to the chord four.
So you've gone there in G, you've gone from E minor to C.
And that's just a spur of the moment idea.
Yeah,
that's just
going.
That's just a two chord sequence.
That's hovering around.
That's hovering around. We don't need to overcomplicate it. We don't need to have loads of chords, all the notes, all the time. I think less is more when it comes to that. Keep it simple and keep it predictable.
Last phrase of the hymn over again. So
yes, you could do that. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was me singing. Da, 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 da,
da, da. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. And that's often a good way to bring people in. And so in an introduction is going out for the beginning of the melody, which is nice. It's a nice little reminder, isn't it?
Well, it lets people know what the first note's going to be, which is helpful.
And so we do that. Another song might be like 10,000 Reasons.
Yep.
So So what key are we going to do this?
Let's go for B, E flat. Let's go for E flat.
So if you were going to do an introduction for that, you know, you do it and play the melody as an introduction.
Okay.
And just do it straight. And then
at the beginning, the beginning melody.
Yeah, so the kind of chorus melody, which is the Bless the Lord.
Okay, I'm now, by the way, for the record, doing this slightly simpler than I would have done before.
Yeah, okay.
Awesome. Big breath.
You actually, so that was lovely. You slowed down before we started the, before we went for the breath at the end. Why did you do that? Just out of interest.
I think I was slightly overwhelmed with the moment.
You were having a moment.
I think probably I do that. Yes, yeah. I do think I do that. Are you saying that's a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a okay thing.
Might make the drummer nervous.
So it might be. If you're playing on your own, I think that's totally fine and a legitimate thing to do. If you're playing as a band, that might kind of knock things out of kilter slightly.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'll find if you're listening to something which is a recording, pretty much everything that's recorded today is recorded to a click.
I'll come closer to my microphone.
So everything is recorded to a click. I think there would be benefit in us as pianists practicing playing to a metronome. And what that will do is it just locks us into time. Because otherwise what happens, and this happens a lot in songs, is when it kind of rises and falls, we can get excited. And so it's this kind of over-enthusiastic thing again sometimes, which can be a challenge, is that we can try and push things on. And so musically, what we do is we speed up and we slow down and, you know.
It's quite difficult for a congregation to speed up and slow down. I mean, the hymns I grew up singing when I was first a new Christian, which had the sort of, oh, make me understand it, help me to take it in. But there's sort of, you've got this real slow up and then everyone sort of kicks off.
Yeah, well,
they're
actually quite difficult
to sing, aren't they?
Yeah, and songs in the kind of midnight, like things like Jesus Put This Song Into Our Hearts. Do you remember that one?
Okay.
That really I remember that. And that was one of my favourite songs as a young person. It was like, you know, how fast is it going to be by the time we get to the end? And it was a kind of exciting and fun. But I think unless it's deliberately supposed to do that, I think we should try and keep kind of solid time. That comes with the kind of being predictable and being followable thing as well. I think that's important.
That's really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think go for that. I think it'd be worth talking. We talked a little bit about our kind of sonic space, the kind of playing in different registers. Yep. It might also be worth talking for a moment about different sounds that we might use on the piano. So some of your judges, you might have an acoustic piano. That's lovely.
Yep.
Hopefully it's in tune. That's also one of the challenges. I think just trying to get your piano tuned regularly if you're doing that. Yeah.
If you can still find piano tuners,
it's more
of a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I learned how to tune a piano when I turned 30.
Is that right?
That was my little kind of on my bucket list.
I want to know what your rate is then. When can you come round?
I don't know if I'd necessarily trust myself commercially on this.
Do it for free. That's fine. Okay. Right. So let's get back to piano. Sorry.
Yes. So different sounds. So this is called a Nord. Other red pianos, I'm sure, are available.
Yeah.
But what's kind of helpful about the way that this is laid out, and you might look at this and think, wow, there's lots of buttons here. It's very complicated.
I feel like I'm on the flight deck of
a
small jumbo.
You feel like you could land a plane with this thing.
Yeah.
Really, we've just got three sections here. And this is three sections that are quite helpful for us to think about within kind of worship and piano. And we've got an organ section, which is obviously kind of more traditional. Generally, this is jazz organs and Hammonds and things. We've got a piano section and we've got a synth section. I think often when we hear that word synth, we think kind of synth lead stuff, kind of 80s, really kind of in your face.
What you used to call a saw lead.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
That's the one, yeah.
But the way in which we can kind of tastefully and subtly use synths is to use a kind of what we call a pad sample. And that, you can hear it there. It kind of gives that sort of ethereal kind of background sound. And that's really lovely. Actually, we were recording a service for BBC Radio 4 the other day, and one of the producers came in and said, I hadn't actually turned my pad on. He said, it'd be really nice to have sort of some kind of synth pad in the background just to help fill out the sound a bit more. And that language of kind of filling out the sound is really helpful. So if we go back to the kind of G, so if you can hear that, that's just being sustained more.
Yeah.
So we're just doing a little kind of G, working out to the seventh. That just adds a kind of nice space. Very simple thing to do. Again, it can be overdone, and less is more with that. So you could have that in a kind of fully in your face. Yeah. And if that all the time, that's just a bit too much. It's like, wow, we're going to the Starship Enterprise has arrived. So having it kind of in the background is how I would definitely use that generally.
So most electric pianos actually will have that facility. And even if you've just got a series of sounds, there'll often be a piano and strings or piano and pads.
That's
sound.
Right. Sometimes you've got to press two buttons at once or something like that. So you've got it there in the background.
And I've got a much simpler piano than you've got. I've got a Kurzweil, and I've got four little dials which allow me to
adjust what you've got.
To bring it in and out as I want to, essentially.
Lovely,
yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, okay.
That's something which is nice to use. Even within the piano section, you might have an electric piano sound.
Okay.
Which sounds a bit like that.
I feel like you're doing Whitney Houston ballads now. So tell me the right sort of setting to use a sound like that.
So it's trying to find the right song, and that is a challenge, actually. I think...
Would you use that if you were playing on your own?
Sometimes. Sometimes I would use that within the band. I probably wouldn't use it if I had an electric guitar playing who had a similar sound.
Right, okay.
Because it could clash a little bit. But a song I might use that for is something like Matt Ribbon's Blessed Be Your Name, Land That Is Plentiful. Where is it? So just something like that. It just gives a little bit more. Whereas if you were playing that with a piano sound, you just hear the difference. Like the piano is quite pointed.
It's quite abrasive.
And that is just a way of making things more mellow.
Yeah.
So it's trying to find... I wouldn't use it all the time. I don't use it every week. But it's something that's, you know, in the arsenal that you can use for that. We also sometimes use organs. Again, if I was playing in a band setting. So you might play something which is a bit more kind of jazzy or up-tempo. And on the piano, you do something like... Kate Simmons' song. When I was lost, you came and rescued me. Reached down into the pit, and you could add in a little bit of organ up there. That's one way of doing that, and it's just an effect.
So
really.
if you've got a piano like this, a church, get down to church.
Yeah,
play around with it, see what it can do. Don't just kind of rehearse at home on your upright and then come to church and think it just makes a piano sound. There's more than it can do.
Definitely. I think it's being prepared to take risks, isn't it? And have a go. And it's also being prepared for something that you do not to go well. Because that's the way you discover things.
It happens to me all the time.
Having a curiosity about what you do as you play and as you lead. I think that's important. And
what do you mean by that, a curiosity?
And that's just playing around. So playing around with chords, playing around with sounds, playing around with your sonic space. So which part of the piano am I going to play this bit in? And just developing that kind of musical curiosity for what you do.
But I guess you've got to keep thinking you're accompanying, not performing.
Yes.
So, you know, I mustn't go mad, must I, with all my little sort of extra bits and East End pub pianist.
It's going back to what's the driving force for what you're doing? Well, it's got to be the lyrics. So something like 10,000 Reasons and that last verse. On that day when my strength is failing. You can strip it right back to very simple. The end draws near and my time has come. And then what we sometimes talk about in music is doing a build. So kind of building up. So and that comes from... often by kind of doing your octaves in the bass. And that's that line. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. So just thinking about what you're doing there. And that's a little bit of light and shade. So, and that works really nice when you've got a band. We're really going to go for this bit. And in a song, it's often the resurrection moment, you know, in Christ alone. It's he's risen from the dead. It's those lines that we kind of really go for it. So it's trying to think about, when you look at a song as a piano leader or as a worship leader, what's the high points and what's the kind of low point musically and emphatically? When do you want to kind of add in extra layers?
So make sure you've got the words in front of you.
Yes.
Not just the melody line.
Yeah.
That seems
to
be quite important, doesn't it?
I think so. And that curiosity and exploring and playing around with things, just because you've played a song in a particular way for 10 years or 20 years, doesn't mean that you can't mix it up. and give yourself permission to try something
new. For example, give us a mix it up. You give me your best mix it up, I'll give you mine. How about that?
Yeah, okay. You put me on the spot, Knight. There we go. Something that I'm mixing up.
Well, I'll tell you what I did this Sunday. You're going to tell me off, okay? Kids, we talked about this in a previous episode. We've got a repertoire of about 200 songs at church. Yeah. Our kids' songs repertoire, pretty small, actually.
Yes, yeah.
Interestingly, good quality kids' songs. Yeah. We do sing quite a lot of He's the King of Kings.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit fed up with it, really, to be honest. Yeah. It's a good song, but I'm a bit fed up with singing it, you know, every other week. So we just made it a little tiny bit reggae.
Okay. Nice. Yeah.
Not particularly different. Yeah. Just had a slightly different rhythm. We had use a cajon. We don't have drums, which is a box that you bang. So slightly different rhythm on the cajon. It just felt like a fresher song.
That's nice. Yeah.
Was that a bad?
Yeah. I think that's good. I think that's really good. And a lot of the way that I'm glad
we're going to end on a high note. By the way.
Mixing up things is just by thinking about the chords that you play. So just adding in slightly different chords. And so across a song, it might be that you have a song that I'm sure a lot of us will know, How Deep the Father's Love.
Yep.
You know, but you could start that in the minor key. So it's in E, but you could give yourself permission to start a verse of that in a different chord and just have a play and think, as long as I'm communicating this well with my musicians, actually I'm just going to hover on that C sharp minor chord, you know, behold the man upon the cross, and then go to like an F sharp minor chord. You're just playing with things, and I know that a lot of this stuff may not be intuitive or kind of come naturally to lots of people who are playing, because we've been in the tight reins and the tight boundaries of classical training all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's just giving yourself an opportunity to have a go. And why don't you get together all the piano players from your church and get somebody in, you know, you send us a message, get somebody in for an evening to spend with your piano players, or send them to some training with like Music Ministry UK.
So you've got something coming up with Music Ministry, isn't there, that people come along
That's
to?
That's right. There's four conferences this year in Edinburgh, Bristol, London and Belfast, which are day conferences, and there will be kind of theological training there, but also instrument specific training and sort of time to kind of think about how do we make the most of kind of piano in church, guitar in church, drums, or whatever it might be, and PA as well, and thinking about the tech side of things. So there's something for everyone with that. So yeah, we'd love to invite you if that. So
this is a little taster, isn't it? Really,
a taster.
Really helpful to me. Thanks, Phil. I feel I'm going to play better this coming Sunday. So thank you very much, and thanks for joining us. And I guess if you're a musician, you won't be regularly listening to the FIC podcast, but perhaps if you're a church leader as well, do come and join us on any other episode. It'd be we'd love you to be with us. I think that's right.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say, and not very well. Thanks, Phil, for joining us.
You're very welcome.
And see you again soon.
Thank you.